The authors of the handbook, Seeing the Unseen, say the fundamental question they ask when they are considering a work of art for inclusion in a gallery show is this one. Is this an authentic creative expression that illuminates honest thoughts about the human condition? Marianne Leteri and Sandra Bowden subtitled their manual, Seeing the Unseen, Launching and Managing a Church Gallery. And they are offering advice to active churches looking to create gallery spaces for their own community and the public at large. Steve Glicken and John Prendergast have created a gallery in a church, but St. Mary's Church in Beaver Meadows, Pennsylvania, was closed by the diocese and decommissioned close to a decade ago. And yet Glicken and Prendergast feel they are keeping true to the spiritual mission of the site. They've even taken a quote attributed to Pablo Picasso as a thematic inscription. The purpose of art is washing the dust of daily life off our souls. After renovating the space, but maintaining a sense of its history, Glicken and Prendergast plan to present exhibitions of regional, national, and international work in a range of media as often as every 2 to 3 months. Each of them is an artist in his own right, but they are much more excited about their monumental, collaborative work of art that is the Greenleaf Gallery itself, the realization of a long-held dream. Steve Glicken and John Prendergast paid a visit to the WVIA studios, carrying with them photos of the light-filled, art-filled space so that we could get a sense of the place they created as a labor of love. Steve Glicken.
Originally, it was largely John's dream. He had worked in retail merchandising for about 40 years and had always wanted to open a gift shop. And we were both interested in the arts. So what happened, there was a catastrophe. He had a major surgical disaster that brought him into the hospital 4 or 5 times in 1 year. And while he was there, he went through the real estate section of the local paper and found that there were 3 churches for sale. He also wanted to live in a church. We looked through the ads and decided that the best one was in Beaver Meadows because it was on Route 93, the direct route to Jim Thorpe, with a lot of vacation traffic going by. So we went there, looked at the property, and decided on the spot that we would take it if we could get our demands met, and we did. So we wound up purchasing this building, which in total is about 9,000 square feet. About 4,500 on top and 4,500 below, and then proceeded to work for 2 years to adjust the space to meet the requirements of an art gallery.
John, what did you think when you saw this one in terms of your dream? Was it, aha, this is it?
It was exactly that. We walked in a side door at the back of the altar and looked into the empty space and said, this is gorgeous. It's perfect. We'll take it.
The interior was in excellent shape, with the exception of the floor. There had been a roof leak some years ago, but that had been repaired. And it has beautiful woodwork and beautiful gold leafing, and just was perfect. Required some work, and it took 2 years to get it into its current state.
As we saw it, the light was pouring into it, and we knew that it would be good light for a gallery.
And the age of the church?
The church was founded 150 years ago, but that was a small one-room structure about 1.5 miles away from the current church. And 125 years ago, they literally moved the old church on ox cart and erected the new one next to it. The church had its cornerstone dedicated in 1904, and had been regularly holding masses until about 7 years ago. It was the first permanent church structure, to my knowledge, in the region. At the time, it was Northampton County, because there were only 4 counties in Pennsylvania. And it became the mother church. St. Gabriel's was built afterwards and became the mission church. And a few years later, they switched their roles.
And it must be so gratifying to know that you can help preserve a structure and a history like that.
It just kind of makes us sad when we look around the Hazleton area and see that a church is turned into a martial arts center and another church is turned into a gymnasium. And we feel that in a certain spirit, we have preserved the spiritual function of the building.
We're looking at a photograph here, and the wood is gorgeous.
It is beautiful wood, and you cannot get that wood anymore.
See the dark lines in it? That's where the parishioners came in and out of the pews.
We asked the flooring company not to erase that, because it's part of the history.
The sun comes in one side of the windows in the morning, comes in the opposite side in the afternoon, and when the sun hits those floors, it's just gorgeous. Everybody that comes in, one of the first things they say is, oh, look at those floors.
And the color, it's so deep and rich. What kind of wood is it?
It is yellow pine. In its natural state, it's a very light yellow with nice red grain. And we did have to stain it a bit because it just couldn't be used as it was.
That's looking down, and now looking up to the ceiling. It's not too high so that you would get lost, but it has that grand feeling, right?
Yeah, the center part of the apse is 30 feet high.
And the side arches are about 20 feet.
What was your plan? How did you decide then, this is the way we think the gallery should begin?
Well, John's background is as a space planner, and unlike me, he can visualize spaces and how they will change over time, so I'll let him describe.
So after I drew a floor plan, visualizing how I wanted it, I built a model because I knew Steve would not be able to visualize it without having something to look at physically. So I built a model right down to couches and chairs and movable partitions, and you can't quite see it back in the left-hand corner there. Floor-to-ceiling bookcase that we had built. I put that in the model because we have a substantial collection of books. And we sort of developed it from there. Steve was able to visualize, so we made some adjustments, and this is basically very close to the model.
And you can see the back wall of the main altar is now, it's a symposium hanging where we have artwork going 15 feet into the air. Most of the other hanging is regular gallery hanging, but this is a focus for the eyes. And we have rooms set up within the floor plan for different kinds of settings. So we have a library setting, we have a dining room setting, we have a living room setting, and we have a bedroom setting that we're going to use for our fabric arts shows. And we built a number and purchased a number of movable walls. So you can see in that picture, there is an X-shaped hanging area. Those are actually two walls that are hinged together that we built. And we can reconfigure them, and there are two more of them in the background.
The other thing that we've noted in the photographs that are before us is not just these structural items that make it a gallery, but again, the exquisite detail of the flowers, fresh flowers and plants, and the lovely drapes that make the space alive and dynamic, as well as the organic nature of the plants.
John is extremely active in the Garden Club Federation of Pennsylvania, and in fact, was it 2 years ago, won best in state for his flower arrangements.
So all the silk arrangements and fresh flower arrangements, I do.
And John, I should mention, is president of one local garden club and vice president of another.
At the same time you were taking care of these renovations, you were contacting your artist friends, and you have artist friends all over, not just the East Coast and the West Coast and the country, but internationally.
Internationally, yes. To a certain extent, part of my goal was to create a really good relationship, and you create a good relationship with an artist by buying their work and by promoting them. So I have purchased work from, would you say, innumerable artists?
You might.
Close to innumerable. And now they're very willing to contribute art for shows. And I see this as an important way of supporting the arts.
And so you have recently launched a show.
I call it Any Father's Son. And it's art by men and women internationally looking at different aspects of masculinity and asking questions of the artists about what effect does mortality have on their art decisions. The show is dedicated to my son who died 2 years ago, and we have some of his art in the gallery. And I have a beautiful portrait of him that was done by a friend of mine, Mathieu Lacat, who lives in Quebec.
What was your son's name?
David Matthew Tessick-Licken.
So this is really bittersweet in the sense that you're gathering this and you're sharing it with us, but it's very personal in that regard.
Absolutely.
What are some of the pieces that have struck you, John, that are in the show now? One piece that you might bring to our attention?
Well, my brain just went to the portrait of David. You know, it's an exquisite portrait, and it captures him right to the T. The coloring, the hair color, everything is so much David.
One thing about my son was that he was very much a graffiti artist. And Mathieu wanted lots of photos and lots of information about him and used my son's graffiti tag to see it emanating from his mind like Athena coming out of the forehead of Zeus. It's exquisite.
You solicit and then you get these canvases and various artworks. Then you have to hang the show.
Yes.
Is that something that you love to do? And do you do it in collaboration with each other? Or is that your job, Steve?
It's love-hate. It's a lot of work. And usually I do most of the hanging myself, but John has a lot of expertise in framing and
matting,
in cutting mats.
Cut mat.
So for this current show, we probably did 15 of our own, getting work from people that we know and then matting it and framing it. And one of the things we try to establish by the way we do things is that we do not differentiate between fine art and crafts. It's the same amount of work, it's the same level of skill, and I don't see maintaining the false division.
And we have a fairly exceptional collection of antique furniture throughout the gallery, and a lot of people are very interested in the furniture.
We have three large pieces we just purchased in Houston area that are French from the 19th century. Two large pieces, not sure if they're walnut or oak, but very large break front and server, and another one from France, which is a walnut glass-fronted bookcase.
Now, you had a dream, John, about a gift shop. How does that fit into this project?
Well, it's not quite like going on a ride in Disney World and then having to go through the gift shop. It's not quite that. But a lot of the pieces in it are from the artists that we're showing in the gallery. And they're exceptional craftsmen as well as artists. A lot of my pieces are in it.
It's located up in the former choir loft, and it's a very nice self-contained space. I have to mention that Lucas, our gallery dog, loves to hang out up there. And John has done a lot of work with jewelry stores, so he got the right kinds of showcases. And we have three major lit showcases for jewelry and work from as far away as Cambodia and Thailand. We have work from Bogota, Colombia, from Paris, France, from China, and
Rome.
All over the United States, from Rome. It's a lot of fun to go up there.
And we have many local artists as well as made in the USA. I would say that predominates it. And then all these other artists are mixed in.
You have suggested that in addition to being the Greenleaf where you are looking perhaps to do some partnering or working with regional art institutions and organizations.
Absolutely. There's a wonderful, wonderful gallery in Bethlehem called the New Bethlehem House Gallery. They have terrific shows. And we have some artists that we have included in our gallery in common. And we have begun speaking about doing a joint show to have it either start in Beaver Meadows and move to Bethlehem, or having a part in each city. And that is going to be exciting. I also am going to be taking some of our artwork to New York City for a show in January with one of our very good artists. The two of us will share a gallery. So I'm looking forward to that quite a bit.
You could have named it anything. Tell us about your choice of naming.
This is John's baby.
I picked it up as a business name many years ago. I was doing freelancing, and I guess it's my love of plants and flowers that I just decided to use Greenleaf. It was sort of a corporation thing at the time. So we already had that in our life, so to speak. So we decided that Greenleaf would be appropriate.
And tell us about the insignia or the logo.
We were looking for, a sign of our trademark, so to speak. We came across a wonderful metalsmith named Joanne Minnick in the Hawk Mountain show a couple years ago. And we worked with her to create a copper leaf that's about 5.5 feet long. She worked on the patina until we had it exactly the right color. She makes her own armatures for her work. And her husband, God bless him, is a welder. And we had the two of them come over and they put it up. And we had another artist named Barry Middleton from the same area. And he built us gallery doors for the interior that have a green wooden leaf and four kinds of wood in them that have squares and triangles cut out of them to mimic and mirror the front doors that have ruby red glass in diamonds.
Before you go through the art doors is the tribute to the original church. And we've had people bring in pictures. Like one woman brought in pictures that her mother had been the person that made the altar cloths. And she brought in a half a dozen pictures of the altar cloths that her mother had made. And in a shoebox of papers, we came across a small item, which is a ticket to the cornerstone laying in 1904. And it describes that happening. And the stone was laid by Right Reverend Edmund Prendergast.
He's Edmund Prendergast? You're John Prendergast?
A lot of things go full circle.
So that was just incredible. I talked to my 96-year-old aunt to see if she could make any connection, and she couldn't. My family's from West Virginia, and we don't know exactly where he was from.
We have visions for the future, too. A couple of months ago, we received a 501c3 nonprofit status for a fellowship that we would like to start for young artists. And that will probably be in the next year or year and a half to provide them with studio space for 4 to 6 weeks, a corner of the gallery to display in, possible small stipend, and give them a chance to do a show, to collect 90% of their take, and to have something to put on their resumes. And we can extend this, if we have a young composer. Give them a space to practice and give them an opportunity at the end of the fellowship. You put on a small concert for the public. If we collect money for it, we'll give you 90% of the money.
Mention some of the shows coming up.
We have a lot of shows planned. The current show is the Any Father's Son. The next show is going to be as simple as black and white, which will be black and white art production, photography, fabric, painting, and drawing. Then coming next year, a number of shows. No Woman Ever Became Famous by Behaving Herself for International Women. We will have a show of masks just art masks from Puerto Rico, from Dominican Republic, from Germany, from Japan, from Aruba. We will have small works on paper. We will have a big, big fabric arts show. I have wonderful people in it. And just amazing crochet work, amazing silk painting, amazing quilting. And that's going to be really exciting. So there's a lot cooking, and we had no idea what we were getting into.
Artists Steve Glicken and John Prendergast, proprietors of the Greenleaf Gallery in Beaver Meadows near Hazleton, speaking with us about the art space they've created in the former St. Mary's Church. They tell us the gallery occupies the main sanctuary floor of the former church. Over the main stairway to the church is a large green copper leaf designed and installed by contributing artist Joanne Minnick. She's an expert in creative patina work, and her welder husband helped mount it permanently above the porch. Original stained glass paneled doors lead into the vestibule. The vestibule houses a tribute to the original church and the story of its visual evolution over 150 years in words and photographs. Executed by wood artist Barry Middleton, the actual entryway to the gallery is fronted by two wood sculpture doors made of four decorative woods. They mirror the diamond structure of the stained glass. That is the gallery at 121B Berwick Street in Beaver Meadows, the Greenleaf Gallery. For more information on the web, greenleaf.gallery, greenleaf.gallery. 121B Berwick Street, Beaver Meadows, Pennsylvania. On the web, greenleaf.gallery.